Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 28 to 32. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 32. I'll read verse 28, and then you read verse 29 with me, and we'll read responsibly. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And let's pray together. Lord, what a wonderful God. You make salvation available to us, and then after You save us, You never leave us. You provide everything we need. Please, this morning, open our eyes and help us to see You in purity and holiness. And Lord, what You've given us. And then, Lord, help us to love You more because of what we learn about Your wonderful love toward us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8:31, God says here, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So if you take the phrase, God is for us, some have modified it to where they might turn a war cry into, we've got God on our side, or we've got right on our side. And however they do that, that's been a battle cry. Athletic teams to social groups to soldiers use it here and abroad. There's no similarities between Islam and Christianity, but Islam uses a form of God for us whenever they blow up a school or whatever they do. What do they scream? Allahu Akbar, which means what? Allah's greater. And so they use it in a nasty way. Many people throughout history have claimed the motto, God is for us. Keep this verse from being misused by lost people. When you read verse 31 in your Bible, okay, what shall we then say to these things? One of the words you need to think about is the if. If God be for us, who can be against us? Think about this just for a second. God's not obligated to help every person that quotes this text. Every man cannot truthfully say God is on his side, because God's not on every man's side. Jehovah Almighty God is everywhere at once, but He's not for everybody's cause. Most people on God's earth fight against God. Very few are with the Lord. Since Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, we have a sin nature that constantly fights against God. I like how one Christian put it. They said, look, half of me hates God and half of me loves the Lord. And it's not the part of me that loves the Lord that I'm worried about. Part that I struggle with is the part of me that hates God. He said, I got saved, but the bad didn't leave. I just got some wonderful good. Amen. So understanding most people fight against God. Now, earlier in the chapter, Romans chapter 8, watch this. This is easy to see. Look at verse 5. It says, for they that are in the flesh, that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The word carnal means flesh. It's where we get the word from chili con carne, which means what? A meat soup. So carnal is meat or flesh. And in this case, carnally minded is fleshly minded. The flesh controls you. Watch verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's fighting against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's very interesting as a Christian, I need to be careful when I get in the flesh and I'm not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of me, I can't make God happy. I cannot please the Lord unless I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit. And none of us are 100% yielded 100% of the time. That's the Christian life, right? I'm learning to not be carnally minded. I'm learning to be spiritually minded. But that takes work. It takes work at it. And if I'm not careful, my Christian life won't please the Lord. Because I'm not thinking right. I'm thinking what my flesh wants to do instead of what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Okay? Watch this. So, our selfishness fights against God all the time. And God is against us for our destruction with all of His powers of justice. All right? Think of this verse here. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Before you got saved, God was angry with you. When you get saved, God stops being angry with you because Jesus paid your sins, right? Until that's why every person that's lost, God's angry with them. All right? How about Hebrews 12:29? Our God is a consuming fire. Let me say it again. Until you're saved or born again by the Holy Ghost, God fights against you. Our text verse this morning is Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This morning I want you to think about, God is for you if you've been reconciled to Him by the death of His Son. If you're saved, God's for you. Your hope and your joy begins when you see the Lord Jehovah in the person of Jesus Christ. God surrendered all the glories of His throne to take on the likeness of sinful man, and then He stooped even lower to a shameful death on the cross. When you see Jesus Christ as Emmanuel, God with us, then you know He's on your side when you've accepted Him. If you use Romans chapter 8, I'm trying to help you look through here, and I hope you read it later, but if you look at all the conditions God says, if, look at verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. How does the Holy Spirit of God dwell in you when you get saved? If, look at verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If, conditions that have to be met, that God says, I want to help you, if, that's verse 10, look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If you are without Christ, you're without God. If you aren't with Christ, you aren't with God. If you're in Christ through His shed blood, then you can know this promise in the Bible at verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then that's a promise you can claim if you're saved. God is not for everybody. He's for you if you're saved. The Bible was written to save people, not lost people. This morning, how do you know God's for you? We know God through His Word, not our feelings or experiences. What God wants us to know about Him, He gave us in His Word. In other words, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior 36 years ago. When I got up this morning, I didn't feel saved. I knew I was saved because I asked Jesus to save me 36 years ago. And because I know I'm saved, then I feel good. Well, some people think of it this way. Well, I'm saved because I feel good. Well, what happens when you don't feel good? I don't always feel saved, but I always know I'm saved because I trusted Jesus. In other words, what do my feelings have to do with it? As a matter of fact, if you really want to know how I felt this morning when I got up, I felt dead. I reenacted the resurrection. Okay? So your feelings and your emotions, I like this, shouldn't have anything to do with your Christianity. It's sad when they do. Well, I just feel that I ought to do this, or I just think I ought to do this. So, well, it's my opinion. When are you going to stop living by your feelings and start living by what the Bible says? When does this tell you what's right? And your heart is discovered as a liar. Because that's what this book does. Amen? I cannot trust myself. I can trust the Bible and what God says. Here we go. Okay, in the verses before we get to our text, look at verse 28, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, he's going to give some words that I want to focus on this morning here in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. If I took those words, foreknow, predestinate, called, glorified, and look at all that God did for you when He saved you. None of us understand it all. But God did, what did God do when He saved you? He set a whole bunch of things in order that most of us will never fully understand till we get to heaven. So let's break it down a little bit and look at how do I know God's for me? Well, the first thing it says is He foreknows us. Think about this, foreknow. Foreknow means to know beforehand, okay? Before you were born, God had your life planned out. Okay, that's the criminality of abortion. There's been 62 million aborted babies since 1972 in America. In 2022, globally, 42 million have been aborted just in 1 year. That's the evil or the crime of abortion. As God says, before you were formed, I knew you. How can you take the life? Well, and then however they want to refer to it, I think it's evil and demonic for that. But think of your life. God had your life planned out. Almighty God spoke the universe into existence, and He knew that one day you would be born, and He wants all men to be saved. But when you got saved, God didn't make you get saved, did He? Didn't hit you over the head with a club. He could have, but He let you accept Him. Because we've all watched people reject Him. So it was by God's grace. He knew you would say yes when you were told about salvation and accepting. Okay, watch this. Then He knew when you heard the gospel that your response would be yes to His offer of eternal life. Then God is for you. I'm thinking about all that God foreknew before you and I were born. God foreknew us. God had determined, God is for you as His child, just like He was for His people Israel. As a believer, you're a spiritual seed of Abraham. The Lord promised to Abraham that his seed would inherit all the land of Canaan, from Egypt to the river Euphrates. So they multiplied while in slavery in Egypt. But when God sent Moses to lead them out of the furnace of the world and determined to set them free, Pharaoh and all of his army couldn't hold them captive. Amen? I'm likening my personal life and your life to Israel. All right? I was in bondage before I got saved. I was in slavery to the world. And then, in God's timing, when I was offered the gospel, I got saved. Amen? And the whole world couldn't keep me from getting saved when I said yes to Jesus, just like you. Now, watch this. God determined to bring Israel to the promised land, the land He promised them. In the middle of the desert, famine couldn't destroy them because the Lord gave them manna from heaven every morning. Thirst was not allowed to hurt them because a rock followed them and gave them water every day. During the judgment of the serpents for their sin, a brazen serpent was provided for them on a pole to look to and be healed. The Amalekites attacked them, but they were given victory while Moses held up his hands and the rod of God. God parted the Red Sea and 40 years later parted the Jordan so they could go in and take possession. As they entered the land of Canaan, they were attacked by armies that had chariots of iron, but the walled cities were thrown down and Jehovah God destroyed them all. God teaches us, if your name is written this morning in the Lamb's Book of Life, your enemies cannot prevail against you if you'll just love God and seek His will. What's verse 28 say? We know all things work together for good for everybody? No, for those who love God. All I need to do is just keep loving the Lord and putting Him first. And He handles everything else. Isn't that wonderful? What a verse. Whom He did foreknow. Okay. How about this? Ephesians 1 this morning. And okay. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. That's Ephesians 1:19. Let me put this differently. God's working very powerfully in your life every moment of the day. If you don't see that, it's your fault. Well, God's really working in their life. God's really working in your life. It says the exceeding greatness of His power to us. God loves you. God's working. He just doesn't do everything your way. Right? If I don't see God, it's my fault. It's not because God's not there and it's not because God's not working. It's because I got my eyes on other things than where God's working. But God's working in every person's life powerfully. Every day. What a wonderful thought. Like I said, I don't always see it because I'm selfish. Right? I'm self-centered. I think about me, not God. That's my tendency. Right? Right? Here we go. How about this? Ephesians 3:20. Just listen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask according to the power that worketh in us. Once again, God is powerfully working in every person's life. I like this statement. God's working in your life whether you're saved or lost. If you're lost, He's working to get you saved. He doesn't make you get saved. But whatever you're leaning on, He's knocking out, showing you that the devil's a liar. Amen? God's working in us. I like Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there's no power that can overcome God Almighty. You can know this morning God is for you because He foreknew you. How about the next word there? And I believe we're at verse 29. He also did, the next word is predestinate. Okay, here we go. God predestinated you. What's that mean? The Lord predetermined that after you placed your faith in Him, you would grow spiritually to be more like Jesus and less like yourself. If you read the verse, what's it say? It says, right here, let me see. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Isn't that supposed to be the whole object of Christianity? Is for you to become like Jesus? Christian, one who reminds someone of Jesus. So God predestinated you and wants to change you. He wants to change the way you, God wants to change the way you talk. God wants to change the way you carry yourself. God wants to change your goals. God wants to do what? To be more like Jesus and less like you. Hopefully. Now, watch this. God didn't make you get saved, and God doesn't make you grow spiritually. And if you don't want to be like Jesus, it's supposed to be our heart's cry, right? It's supposed to. But if you're occupied with the things of this world and money and you got your eyes on other things, it's kind of like, I'm saved, going to heaven, leave me alone. I know a lot of Christians like that. But don't forget, the whole goal of Christianity is to be like Christ with God's help. He predetermined that I would be conformed to the image of His Son. I hope 2022, as we start it, I hope at the end of 2021, I'm more like Jesus now than I was this same time last year. I hope I've grown spiritually. And you don't grow if you don't want to. You only grow if you let God help you. God doesn't. Aren't you glad God doesn't make you do anything? It's volunteer. It's supposed to be, I got saved because I found out He loved me, and I grow in Christ because I found out He loved me, and I'm on my way to heaven. It's just amazing how little that has to do in our society because there's so much to distract us. Watch this. God didn't predestinate you for heaven or hell. God made spiritual growth available for you once you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. We've looked at the word foreknow. We've looked at the word predestined or predetermined. I just think that's amazing. You probably spend a lot more time on it. Look at the next word. It says, for whom He did foreknow. I'm at verse 29. Foreknow He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also, now we're at called. What does that mean? When God saves you, He calls you to serve Him and has works that are ordained for you to do until one day He calls you home. You're on this earth to do what God created you to do and what God saved you to do. And all of us have right around, God says in Psalm 90, 70 years to complete it. Some have a little more, some have a little less. Let the world struggle with its identity. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what life's about. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. If you're saved, you have a purpose. You're supposed to be saying, dear God, what have you called? God's called everybody. If you're saved, God's called you. What have you called me to do? What did you put me on this earth to accomplish? That's a calling, right? I just love the thought this morning. Most people, when they think called, they think, oh, you're a pastor. You're called to pastor. Yes, I'm called to pastor Gospel Light Baptist Church. But have you ever thought of your calling? God has a purpose for your life. That's why I used to tell the teenagers, I said, it shouldn't bug you if I ask you a question. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Some people really like that question, and some people hate it. Well, I was happy till you asked me that. Well, shouldn't you be occupied with doing what God wants you to do? Amen? If you're right with God, but you enjoy the question, if you're running from God, it's annoying. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I always say, sounds great. Is that what the Lord wants you to do? Well, what'd you have to ask me that for? Because I want you to enjoy life, and you can only enjoy life as you do what God created you to do. And you're miserable as you do what you want to do. Right? You have a calling on your life. What a verse. Right? God foreknew us. God predestined every person that's saved. And you now have a calling. I love this because the Bible teaches us what God did for us when He saved us. Watch this. Here we go. Think about this. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'll say it again. There's things you're supposed to accomplish before you die that God planned when He saved you. God doesn't make you do them. You get to do them as you yield to Him. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Is the what you're giving yourself to what God planned? And it shouldn't... I don't think when you get saved you got to change occupations. Amen? Because now you have somebody that wants to help you. Now, you've heard me say it before. If you're a prostitute or a drug dealer, I highly suggest you change jobs. But most aren't that way. Right? Okay, so God has a calling on your life, and the Romans 11:29 says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I love that. God saved you and called you, and God hasn't changed His mind about you no matter how much you failed Him. All that Israel did, all the times they went into idolatry, all the times they offered their children and got away from God and went a-whoring after other gods, and God still never said, you know, I wish I would have never brought you out of Egypt. I rescued you out of slavery, gave you your own land, blessed your own homes. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And no matter how, I love this. This encourages me to what? Look, if the devil can, he discourages you to keep from going forward because of your failures. God says, I love you. I don't love your failures. I don't love your sin. But because I never stop loving you and I never change my mind about you, you can get up, dust yourself off, tell God you're sorry, and keep on going. Because why do most Christians quit? They get discouraged. I can't do this. Then the devil starts saying, you know, everybody can be a Christian, but you. You're a failure. You need to quit. Well, what would happen if you knew God has never changed His mind about you since He saved you? I love this thought. Let's go the other way. God knew where I would fail Him when He saved me. God didn't say, I'm so glad God didn't say, you know, that Nash fella, you know, I'm fine with everybody but him. You got to watch. That's a pistol right there. He's, aren't you glad? God knew where I would fail Him. And yet He still saved me. What a God. Don't let the devil discourage you. You've been called. You've been called and it's without repentance. You can know God's for you this morning because He foreknew you. He predestined you. He called you. Look at the next verse. Look at the next word in verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also, there's that word, justified. What's that mean? He declares you righteous in His sight, just as if you had never sinned. Salvation gave you the righteousness of God, and now when God sees you, He sees His Son, not your sin. Glory to God. I'm justified. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse. I'm saved by my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for me. This morning, because you've been made washed, because you've been washed and made clean in the blood of Christ, who can be against you? If God's for you to the point where He would wash you in His own blood to cleanse you, who can be against you? What a God. We're taking verse 31 and I'm trying to focus on it just a little bit and I want to think about it with you. Watch this. He also, what's it say at the end of verse 30? And whom He justified, them He also what? Glorified. What's that mean? When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you will one day be glorified at the rapture when we're made like Him. Amen. I have three fillings in my mouth. When I'm raptured, everything, these glasses drop off. Amen. Fillings I have in my teeth, all my flaws are going to be left behind. And I'll be glorified and I'll have a body, you will too, like his. That's glorified. Isn't that neat? That's why I'm looking forward at the rapture. I get to lay down this old sinful flesh. Ephesians, let me read you a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 2, God said in verse 6, He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is spiritual. That's what happens. How about this? When we're... Guess what we're going to hear in the millennium? You know what? I want you to look at this. Go to Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25 and verse 34. What does Jesus say as we go into the millennium? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. So before God said, let there be light and let the firmament be separated and let, you know, the ground bring forth and, you know, the stars are set, before He made the universe, God has been preparing a place for us that we'll finally get to see at the rapture. What a thought. That's glorified. Our minds can't conceive it. He's prepared it for us from the foundation of the world. God tells you the glory that we have to look forward to in Romans 8. Now go back to Romans chapter 8. Ready? What do you mean He's glorified us? Look at all that God tells us. Romans chapter 8 is the victory chapter in Romans. They call it the victory chapter because it just explains all that God has given us. Let me just show you just three verses here. Ready? Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What a comfort for every child of God this morning. I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know what I'm going to face this year. But whatever sufferings and heartaches and disappointments and frustrations and tribulations I face, whatever losses I face, it's not worthy to be compared with that glory that I have in Jesus. That's supposed to encourage you. You say, well, tell me more about heaven. I can tell you it's beautiful, but our minds can't conceive it. It's supposed to, when you hurt, when you're disappointed, when you suffer the loss of a loved one, it's supposed to encourage you to look forward. This hurts and I'm crying like I've never cried before. But God says it's not worthy to be compared. That's verse 18. What else has God done? That's the glory that's going to be revealed. Look at verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. What's the bondage of corruption? Right now I'm bound by this sinful flesh. I want to be more spiritual. I'm learning to be more spiritual. But I'm held back by this corruption. My flesh is filthy. My heart is desperately wicked. I feel the pull of this wretched man. And one day God says it's going to get laid down and I'm going to experience a freedom. Yahoo! I can get as close to God as I want now. Right now that can't happen. I wish I was closer. But I'm held back by this flesh and myself. We looked at verse 18. We looked at verse 21. Look at verse 31. One more time. Ready? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you this morning. Because when you were born again, you were foreknown, predestined, called, and glorified. Justified and glorified. Now, God is for us, or He never would have given us His Son. Look at verse 32. Look right at the next verse. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God would die for you and give His Son, how come you don't pray more? How come you don't ask for more of His help? whatever it is you're frustrated over, or I have things I don't understand. God says, then why don't you let me help you? If I would die for you and give my son for you, what would I not help you with? What a beautiful verse. What is it? I like what somebody said. What is it you think you need that you haven't asked God for yet? When you look at somebody, you think, man, you know, they're talented. I wish I had what they had. Or, boy, I wish, you know, I could serve the Lord. What is it that you need? Why don't you pray? Why don't you ask God? God is for you. This isn't a self-help sermon this morning. I'm not trying to rally you around yourself. I'm just trying to say, being the sinner that you are and what God's already done for you, look what God's going to do for you. Good night. Why do you got to go through 2022 by yourself again? Amen? God is for you. He wants to help you. Look, the only reason God doesn't is because I don't let God. Right? I'm the problem. God's not the problem. God's never been the problem. I'm the problem. I have verse 32 circled in my Bible, and it means so much to me. Let's read it one more time. Ready? I'll read it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That means just ask. Then ask for help. I know I've heard young people talk. I was raised in the 80s and the 70s, and many call that a time of prosperity in America. And I've heard some of the young people say, how come my time isn't that? How come I couldn't be raised like that? Now I've got this to deal with, and COVID, and all the restrictions, and totally different America. And I don't know. God called you for the kingdom for such time as this. Whatever it is you're frustrated about, why don't you pray and ask God for His help and His direction? Instead of, well, I don't know, how come I had to be born now, and how come I couldn't enjoy what... I wish you could have enjoyed what I enjoyed too about America. Those days are done. We need to move on. So let me ask you again, what is it that you think you need to go forward for the Lord? How come you don't pray and ask God for it? Will He not freely give us all things? I gave you my son. You cost me my son. I'll give you anything you need. Just ask. Amen? God's for you this morning. Who's against us? If God be for us, who is against us? We've got the flesh, the world, and the devil. Once again, in that order. Most people, if you said, who's your enemy? They always go, oh, the devil is. The devil has so little to do with your life. It's not even funny. Made the statement on Wednesday night when we were learning, what's the devil doing now? If you have a car that won't start, don't say, well, the devil's just in my car and it won't let me go to church. If you're going to a church where they're correcting the Bible, then the devil is in the pulpit. He's not in your car. But it's amazing how many people say, oh, the devil's not your problem. The Greeks used to say, know thyself. The Romans said, control thyself, but Jesus told us in the Bible to deny yourself. That's why to be yourself. Oh, just be yourself. That's not spiritual advice. I shouldn't want to be me. I should want to be like Jesus, right? Remember the goal? To be conformed to His image? I've never met a man who's given me as much trouble as myself. D.L. Moody said that. The one I struggle with the most is me. I know what's right to do, and then I find myself not doing it. And what I know is right, I don't do, and then what I know is wrong, I end up doing. He said, I struggle with myself. The Apostle Paul said that too, right? I know that in me dwells no good thing. Our flesh, okay, did you know many people suffer from self-inflicted wounds? You ever think about alcoholism? Somebody didn't control themselves and their self led them to self-destruction. You ever think about a drug addict? They did the drugs for pleasure, didn't withhold themselves, and the drugs destroyed them. Most of our problems are self-inflicted. Heard the story of the guy that was pulling the gun and did what? Shot himself in the foot before the gun went off, before he got it even out of the holster. That's the true with most Christians. Their problem is what they've done to themselves, right? What is my enemy? Myself is my first enemy. Have you ever noticed this? Think about this just for a second. This is how evil our heart is. And I know we hit it in Sunday school this morning, and now I'm hitting it again, but just listen. Have you ever noticed how when the other fellow acts that way, he's ugly, but when you do, it's nerves? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed when others are set in their ways, they're just hard and obstinate, but when you do it, it's you're firm and a person of character, you know? Have you ever noticed when your neighbor doesn't like your friend, he's prejudiced, but when you don't like his, you're a good judge of human nature? When he tries to treat someone especially well, he's buttering them up for kissing up, but when you try it, you're being thoughtful. Have you ever noticed when he takes time to do things well, he's a slow poke or lazy, but when you do, it's because you're deliberate and careful? I'm just trying to show you our problem is us. Let me give you a few more. When someone picks flaws in things, they're cranky and critical, but when you do, you're creative. Have you ever noticed when he's mild-mannered, you call him weak, but when you are, it's because you're gracious? Have you ever noticed when someone dresses especially well, that person is extravagant, but when you do it, you're just tasteful? When he says he thinks he's spiteful, when he says what he thinks, he's spiteful, and when you say what you think, you're just being frank. When he takes great risks in business, he's foolhardy, but when you do, you're a wise financier. It's important to understand this morning, who's against you? God is for me. Then who is it that's against me? My flesh and the world and the devil is what's against me. My flesh is against me. This morning we looked at Mark 7 in Sunday school, where all of the evil things come from within us. Next, the world. Take your Bible and go to John 15. John 15. You know, I can run to the Lord. Somebody said, well, you know, part of Christianity, man, it's learning how wicked you are so you don't depend on you, so you rely on the Lord more. And the only reason you trust you and follow you and do what you want to do is because you think you ain't that bad until you read the Bible. And then you find, there's nothing good in me. Dear God, if my life counts at all, it's going to be because I hold close to the Lord and I run from myself and what I could be without the Lord. You ought to scare you sometimes. I heard one person say that 20 years ago. He said, I terrify myself. I'm scared of what I would be without God. If I get away from God, if I get out of church, he said, I'd be a horrible person. You know what he's doing? He's running from himself. And doing what? Running to the Lord. Right? I want to walk closer with him as I learn how poor I am. John 15, now let's look at the world real quick. John 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. From the time I was a kid to where I'm watching now, our society is getting less tolerant of Christians. What did Hillary say when she was running? She said, our progressiveness can make it if we can just do what? Get the Bible out of the way. That was 2016 or 15, whenever they were running. I remember when she made that statement, because that thing hit and went everywhere. Oh my goodness. Yeah, Christians are looked at as in the way. You know, we could abort a lot more babies and we could hurry up and get communism in America a lot quicker if those Christians would just get out of the way. The world is getting less and less tolerant and the persecution is coming up. What they just do to a pastor in New Zealand, I read the headline. It says the police came to his house and they took all of his guns and ammunition. No warrant, no nothing. That's just one. What they do with the pastor up here in Canada, same continent, had pictures of the police on both sides of him. All he did was he just said, I'm not shutting down church. And it's going to get worse. If the world hate you, Jesus said it hated me before it hated you. What do you really think they're... So they're going to crucify me and have a hoorah, hoorah, the gang's all here when you show up. No. If they hated me, it'll hate you. Look, that's John 15. Look at John 16. John 16. Look at verse 33. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah. The world is going to have crushing persecutions. That's what a tribulation is. But he said, whatever you go through in the world, be of good cheer. I've already overcome it. I don't need to worry about it, but it's there, and I don't ignore it either. That's John 16. Can I just show you John 17, verse 4? Ready? John 17, verse 4. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The world is the one that sets fashion. The world is the one that declares fame. The world is the worldly language. Because Satan is the god of this world, he uses the world to develop things to feed our flesh that distract us from living for the Lord. If God be for us, I know God's for me, then who is against me? Well, my flesh is one. We looked at it. Number two, the world is against me. And finally, you have the devil. The devil cannot be ignored. I'm not trying to get you to... But listen, the devil understands our human nature more than we do, and he's a master tempter. He's been tempting Christians for 6,000 years. He got Adam and Eve to give up on God, and they didn't even have a sinful nature yet. We have a sinful nature. He's got something to play with us. You don't think he's good? He's very good at what he does. Be careful. Praise the Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This morning, I'd like to remind you, Satan is the broken-headed dragon. And God tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. This morning, God the Father is for you. God the Son is for you. God the Holy Spirit is for you. And God wants to guide you through His Word. You can enjoy God being for you to the degree you submit to His Word. If you don't enjoy the Bible, you have to have a time where I get to read and now I get to enjoy God's speaking to me. If you don't enjoy the Bible, God can't direct you. It's just, well, what are we going to do today? Well, it's sad to watch people live that way. When God is for you this morning, we read Romans 8:31, if God be for us, then this morning, I hope to encourage you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Since God's for you, and I just ask you this question, since God's for you, shouldn't you be for Him? If you're not careful, you're going to turn your whole life into a me against God. And it's supposed to be the Lord and me working for what He saved me to do. It's not supposed to be this. It's supposed to be arm in arm. Shouldn't you stand up for God since He's for you? Since God's for you, shouldn't you be faithful to His Word? Now this morning, if you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if God's against you, who could be for you? No one. Right? If God is your enemy, then anything good you experience here on this earth is only temporary compared to the eternal sufferings of hell. That's my plea for a lost person. I don't know of anybody that's here that's lost this morning. But Christian, when you leave church, I wish you had that verse on your mind. God's for me. And I need to rely on Him more. I need to trust Him more. God's for me. I wanted the sermon. I knew we went far as looking at our evil hearts, but I wanted the sermon to encourage you. How do you kick off 2022? I can make it because God's for me. And it doesn't matter who's against me. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to glorify. I want to glorify Him more this year until He comes than I did last year. And you should want that for your home. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. Lord, You've helped me, and I wish, please, each person. You've done so much for us we know so little about. I know You're a